We receive that open heaven with gratitude. We thank you, our Heavenly Father and our King. You are the God of all grace, the all-controlling Lord. We honor you this morning. We thank you for this moment to gather at your feet to receive manna from heaven. Lord, I pray that your word will come by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Lord God Almighty, by an irresistible anointing and spirit and power, I pray, Father, that you will grant me utterance. As I open my mouth, you will fill the door of faith. I pray you will stretch forth your hand and glorify your word in every life and in this house by signs and wonders done in the name of your holy child, Jesus. We are careful to give you all glory, all honor, all praise and adoration. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Please, let's be seated. Once again, I'm grateful to God's esteemed servants, Professor and Professor Mrs. Ayobami Salami, for giving me the privilege to share this moment of the joy of the Cedar Generation Outreach, the Abundant Life Chapel. And I want to congratulate you again. I hold you in high esteem. Like I said yesterday, before I knew you, I've heard about you. I didn't know this dimension of you then until the day you came with Baba to my office. I thank God for you and for your family that God is raising great men like you for this generation. And I want to thank all the ministers in the house and elders of the church for working hand in hand with the professor to make this happen. When I was 7 years in the ministry, I didn't have this kind of stuff. This is the grace of God. And may that grace continue to increase in your life in Jesus' name. May God take you from grace to grace, from glory to glory. You will make your calling and election sure. You will make full proof of your life. You will finish strong in the name of Jesus. This morning, I will be talking on great grace. Let's start our journey into the word from Acts chapter 4, verse 33, which is our anchor scripture. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them. As believers, we all have one call. And what is that call? Is to show forth the glory of Jesus. To show forth, to be a witness of the glory of Jesus. To be a witness that Jesus is alive today and is still doing the same thing he was doing. He's still changing life. He's still blessing life. He's still performing miracles, signs, and wonders. That is the call of every Christian. To be the witness. Being a witness is not just going around to talk, that's part of it. But people knowing through what they observe in our lives, they can say Jesus Christ is Lord. Have you been there before? When something happened in your life that baffles men, and they come to you, even unbelievers come to you and say, God is great. This is God. This is God. And they are pointing at you and they are saying, this is God. That will be your testimony after this morning. In the name of Jesus. People will come to you because of what they will see happening in your life. And they will say, this is God. That is how to be a witness. You are a witness that God lives. You are a witness that God is alive. And how were they able to be a witness? The Bible says, God worked with them with great power. What translated to power? Grace. Great grace was upon them. When grace is upon you, power will be made manifest in your life, in your endeavors, in whatever you are doing. Hallelujah. And that is how people will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is alive. There are two meanings to grace. Two meanings of grace. One is unmerited favor. That is God giving you the opposite of what you deserve. God giving you what you do not deserve, or God giving you the opposite of what you deserve. This is the grace that brought salvation. This is the grace that brings salvation to every person. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace, the unmerited favor of God, that you are saved. And to be saved means to be delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation and through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It came down through, it didn't come through your own striving, but it's the gift of God. Hallelujah. So that is the first meaning of grace. When God gives you the opposite of what you deserve. We all deserve to go to hell. We don't deserve the good things we have in life. We don't deserve the peace and the joy, the protection, the help of God. We are terrible sinners. But grace brought salvation to us. And now we are children of God. And we claim all the benefits of belonging to God. Glory to God. We are back up by the power of heaven. Maybe you are here. You are not yet enjoying that grace. Today is your day to key into this and enjoy the grace of God in the name of Jesus Christ. The second meaning of grace is divine enablement. Divine enablement. Hallelujah. Sometimes this comes in form of anointing. Glory to God. To survive in life, we need both. We need both. To thrive and to stand out in life, we need the grace of God in great measure. And that's why the theme is great grace. Even the best of humans, the most learned, the most powerful head of state, even the best of humans is still limited in many ways. We are all limited by time. Hallelujah. You don't have all the time to do everything you want to do. We are limited by time. We are limited in strength. There is a level you can cope to in terms of your own strength. There is a level that's beyond your strength. We are limited in ability. We are limited in knowledge. We are limited in wisdom. Man is finite, is limited. Only God is infinite. Only God is without limit. How often we have overblown views of ourselves and our human capacity. You know, we think we are what we are not. I remember the great story of the Titanic. How many of you know the Titanic? The story of the Titanic. The Titanic was a luxury British steamship that sank in the early hours of April 15, 1912. After striking an iceberg, it led to the death of more than 1,500 passengers and crew. Many of these were the rich and famous of this world. The Titanic was a standout ship that ranked the most sophisticated and luxurious ship ever built till that time. It was the largest movable man-made object in the world at that time. The Titanic creators believed that they built an unsinkable ship that could not be defeated by the laws of nature. That was what they boasted. There is nothing in the world that will be able to sink the ship. People had trouble accepting that this paragon of modern technology could sink on her maiden voyage, taking more than 1,500 souls with her. We remain subject to human frailties and error. Despite our hubris and a belief in technological infallibility. Thank God for technology. The story of Titanic is a reminder of the danger of the absence of operating without the grace of God. Operating in the absence of the grace of God. This story tells us that even the greatest of human ingenuity can fail man. But grace is as limitless as God. Grace eliminates mediocrity. It eliminates failure. It eliminates defeat. It eliminates shame. Everything in your life that your soul hates today, the answer to it is grace. When grace comes, it eliminates it. Grace puts you in a pedestal that makes your life enviable. Grace puts a crown of honor upon your head. Grace makes you stand out shoulder high than others. Grace distinguishes. Grace makes you to stand out. Grace can make omnipotence out of an ordinary mortal. Before you think I'm speaking blasphemy, grace made Moses a god, even unto Pharaoh and Egypt. That's what grace can do. There is no limit to what grace, the grace of God, can make out of the life of anybody, even the most despised person. God's grace can make that person a great giant. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, reported that the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness." Glory to God. If there is anything you and I need in life, it is grace. The grace of God. The grace of God makes up for our shortcomings, for our inadequacies, for our lacks. Glory to God. "My grace," God said to him, "my divine enablement is sufficient for you." In the case of Paul, God was telling him that grace is sufficient for you to live victoriously despite the buffeting of Satan's messenger. Glory to God. It doesn't matter what you are going through. It doesn't matter the oppositions in your life. It doesn't matter the shortages, the shortcomings in your life. The grace of God makes for it. And right in the midst of those things, you can do great exploits. You can fulfill great destiny. You can become what people will be enviable. What will be enviable in life. All you need, stop looking at yourself, your shortcomings, your shortages. Just ask for grace. Grace is the answer to human frailty. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, grace is the secret of champions. Grace is the answer to human frailty. We all need grace. Now, if some of us will survey our bath, our training, you know, so bath gives you some things. Yeah, you inherit some things from your parents, intelligence, aptitude. Some of you inherited material wealth. Some of you inherited some things that are imparted through the knowledge of your parents. But when you look and survey all you have by birth, by experience, by training, by your environment, you may discover that you are unqualified for what God is putting in your heart, the vision God is giving you. You are unqualified for the purpose and the intention of God for your life. When God called me, I thought God made a mistake. Because I grew up, I told you a little bit of my bad yesterday. My mom was driven away from my dad before I was 1 year old. So my mom took me and just dropped me with the grandmother. Before I grew up to be conscious, my grandmother had died. I grew into consciousness living with my mother in another man's house. And after 5 years, my father, who had not seen me for 5 years, came to pick me and took me and dumped me in his village with my uncle, his brother. And I was not going to see my mother for another 11 years. Are you listening to me? My story is so long. I don't want to bug you with it. I had so much opposition. By the time my uncle died and they returned me to my father, my father was with another wife who was so tough that he drove away the woman who drove away my mother. And when I came to the house, that woman said to me, "Welcome, I learned you are coming. I want to tell you that in this house you are a bastard and you'll be a slave of my children." And he had 3 boys for my dad. And listen, that woman made me to serve as a slave right in the house of my father for her 3 children. Are you listening to me? So when I look at my background, there was no chance in life for me to be anything. But amazingly, at a certain point in my life, I didn't tell you all the story. If I tell you all the story, you will weep. But thank God, at a certain point, I found the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe I should say, the Lord Jesus Christ found me and changed my story and poured grace on my life. Are you listening to me? Of all the children of my family, of my father today, by the grace of God, I'm the star. I'm the one sustaining every other one. Are you listening to me? The stone that the builder rejected has become the cornerstone. Are you listening to me? When my father died at the age of 92, and we went to our town to bury him, the who and who's in this country visited that place. By the time the burial finished, we were walking home. One of my uncles didn't know I was passing by. And he said, he was gossiping to a friend. He said, and this was the one that they thought nothing good can come out of. That God, who raised me from the miry clay, will raise you up. Maybe you have a similar story to my story. You are contacting grace. The same, God is no respecter of persons. What he did for me, he will do for you. Grace is coming upon your life today that will shoot you to a level you never dreamt possible in your life. You know, God comforts us so that we can comfort others. Are you listening to me? God did all this to me so that through me also, he can impart it to others. Get ready, and you are receiving grace even right now. I say you are receiving grace right now. Your story is changing right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is as limitless as God. Grace is as limitless as God. We must count on God's grace. The divine enablement that can bring to life the plan and the purposes of God for us. That grace for the believer is the compensating dimension. It's what compensates for shortcomings and shortages in our life that the unbeliever have no access to. Glory to God. God's grace can be the great compensator for all the things you think you lack in your life. David, as a young man, went out to fight Goliath. What was it that made him successful against that great giant? David was only a small lad, a small boy. It was divine enablement, God's grace in his life. He had no weapons. All he had was a sling. And it was even on the way that he picked 5 stones from the river. And this man, the Goliath, was armored from head to toe. Only a small plate was open. Hallelujah. And he put that stone, one of the stones in the sling, and rolled it and sent it. Do you think he was so knowledgeable in that art? No. The grace of God took that stone and located the only open place, and the grace of God pushed in. Because when you use a sling, those of you who have been in farm before, and you use it on an animal, sometimes it hit them and they run away. Talk less of a whole giant. Even when you take a sword and cut a man in the head, he can still survive. How can one little stone hit the giant and the giant die? It is grace. And grace will take over from your ability. In the name of Jesus, in this house of God, I declare this place today, the house of great grace. Amazing things will begin to happen in this sanctuary of God. The fame of Jesus and his power will go to the end of this city, the end of this nation, and the end of the world from this place by the reason of the grace that God is releasing upon this auditorium this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. And that same grace is coming over your life. Glory to God. And when we look at the life of Joseph also, hallelujah. What is it that made Joseph successful in Egypt? He was only 17 years old when he was thrown into slavery. It's obvious he didn't have much education, because at 17, how far would you have gone? He was raised in a nomadic family out in the hills of Judea. It's not as it is today. Hallelujah. He had a divine impartation. And part of The manifestation of that divine impartation is ability to interpret dreams. He didn't learn it from any school. It was just imparted to him. That was grace. That was his gift. This was a divine enablement in his life. And this was what God used to promote him and catapult him to move from a slave and a prisoner to become a prime minister in Egypt. The grace that lives shall rest upon your life from this morning in a new way, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This man knew the sufficiency of God's grace. And I want you also to be encouraged, because Jesus did not only say to Paul, Jesus is also saying to you today, my grace is sufficient for you. May you find that grace that is sufficient for your situation, that is sufficient for your case, in the name of Jesus Christ. May that grace be released upon you right now as I speak, in the name of Jesus. One of the greatest apostles, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, I consider him the greatest apostle who ever lived, is Apostle Paul. The only apostle that I know is greater than Apostle Paul was the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the chief apostle. This great apostle acknowledged the grace of God as the secret of his great achievement. A man who wrote more than half of the New Testament. A man in whose hand God did incredible things. A man who was taken by God to the third heavens, a place where no human being had been taken. He saw things that the mouth of mortals were not allowed to utter. This man said, by the grace of God, divine enablement of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Glory to God. May the grace be bestowed upon you today, as it was bestowed upon the apostle. That grace is bestowed upon this auditorium and the work of God going on in this outreach, in the name of Jesus Christ, is bestowed upon it anew, in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul came from a little bit privileged background. From a Jewish perspective, he came from a very good home. He was a Benjamite. And in times of training, you couldn't fault him, because he sat at the feet of one of the greatest professors of his day, Gamaliel, and trained to be a member of the Sanhedrin, so a kind of a lawyer. So to qualify, he had to be able to quote the first five books of the Bible off head. How many of you can do that? Quote from Genesis to Deuteronomy off head. Paul was able to do that in order to become a member of the Sanhedrin. Hallelujah. He was accomplished in his knowledge of the Old Testament law. He said, and yet he said, I am what I am by the grace of God, the great compensator. What he was by birth, the dimension Paul was talking from, is what he was by birth, what he was by training, what he was by birth, made him a murderer. Stoning Christians, hauling them into prison. He was standing there when Stephen was martyred. He was holding the clothes of the murderers who stoned him to death. He had been made a murderer by birth and by training. But the grace of God turned him around and made him one who led thousands to salvation and life, and one who founded many churches. I don't know what you are right now. I don't know what the devil has done to your life. But when grace comes, it turns the situation. Every situation in your life that needs to be turned around, this morning, the grace of God will turn it, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let me quickly talk about the source of grace. The source of grace. God is. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8. Says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. God is able to load your life with the type and kind of grace you need to do anything and everything you are meant to do in this life. Grace comes from God. Grace comes from God. And that is why no child of God has any reason to feel defeated. No child of God has any reason to give up. No child of God has any reason to think he cannot succeed or she cannot succeed. The grace of God is available, and God is able to make any grace abound to you to do anything you are called in this life to do. Professor said they were only 75 when they drew this place. No money. They didn't know how it was possible. But here we are today in this gorgeous, beautiful auditorium. What made it possible? Grace. And that grace is on you in the name of Jesus Christ. God is the source of all grace. And of course, we know that Jesus Christ is God. God, you know, was in Christ Jesus reconciling himself to the world. So God came in the person of Jesus. And the Bible says in John 1:16, and of his fullness, the fullness of Jesus Christ, we have all received and grace for grace. That is grace upon grace. You can keep receiving grace after grace after grace. You have built this auditorium. Grace brought you here. But very soon, you will need another one. And grace will produce it. It will be bigger. It will be larger. Oh, let nobody think, oh, Rehoboth, now we have arrived. No, it's almost full. Very soon, by the time you begin to hold 3, 4, 5 services, Professor will say, this one is too much. We need a larger place. And you will release this for a branch. Hallelujah. So it is grace after grace. Whatever level of grace you are enjoying today, there is another level. Tell your neighbor there is another level. Say, I'm stepping up. Come on, tell somebody I'm stepping up to a new level of grace in the name of Jesus Christ. You are stepping up. God is able to make all grace abound to us and take us from grace to grace. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus came for. We receive grace upon grace upon grace from Jesus Christ. Now we have known the source of faith. How can I attract that faith? How can I attract grace? And what will be the consequences when I attract grace? Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Grace is available at the throne. How do I find it? Come to the throne. Come to God. Come to the throne. Come to God. In his presence, that's where grace is found. And you must come. And how do you come? You come by faith. You come by faith. Because he said, let us come boldly. You cannot come boldly unless you have faith. It is faith that makes you bold to God, towards God. Not by anything you have done. Nobody can qualify. It is faith that qualifies you. Come boldly. The Bible says in Romans 4:16, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace. It is of faith that it might be according to grace. If you don't exercise faith, you cannot find grace. You must come to God in faith. It is of faith that it might be by grace. Professor trusted God. Yes, we are few in number. We don't have the resources. But if God has called me to this work, he will get it done. Is it not done now? It is done. It is of faith. Because he had faith, God released grace. You have to exercise faith for grace to be released. Once God has shown you what he wants to do with your life, don't begin to size yourself up by what you have, who you are, what you have access to. Begin to trust the one who gave you that vision, who made that call upon your life. He will do it. I was sharing with you. I don't want to share fully yet. When God told me to go and take a whole country and build it from a first world to third, from a third world to a first world, it was crazy. But the first thing God did was to give me the president of that nation as a son. And the president said, anything you want to do in this country, go ahead. Hallelujah. And I said, legislate for me. Glory to God. And they are legislating for me. And a lot of things are happening. Initially, I thought, God, that's a tall order. I thought you should go and call. I began to mention the great names who are far bigger than me. Meaning that I still have my own struggles. God, how can you ask me? That was a tall order. But today I can say I see the possibilities. Because I see God began to release grace. Hallelujah. Grace is coming upon you. In the name of Jesus. Now, I was inspired by the story of Singapore. 10 people. They had no political backing. Not great education. Normal education. No money. All they had was a vision that they wanted to change their country. Are you listening to me? And in 10 years, these ordinary people, with only one vision, took Singapore, a nation more terrible than Nigeria, and took it to one of the best nations in the world today. We can do it. It inspired me. When grace comes, there is nothing in this world that God lays in your heart that's not possible. Tell somebody, your dream is possible. Your purpose is possible. And you are on your way from this morning in the name of Jesus. The purpose of this ministry is possible. This is not the end. This is just the beginning. Are you listening to me? And the great things God has laid in the heart of his servant will be fully accomplished in the name of Jesus. It is not by power, it is by grace. But what gives access to that grace is your believing the one who called you. Glory to God. So we must come boldly. Boldness of coming comes through faith. Hallelujah. Then we must also, even though we are coming boldly, we must come in humility. He said that you may receive mercy. God, the Bible says in James 4, 6, that he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Glory to God. You must come humbly. Professor didn't come to God as professor. He had to say, God, I don't have capacity. As a professor, he could boast. By the time I do this and that, I do the research, call upon these people, it will be done. No. He said, God, I have no capacity. As a professor, God says, come and teach the word. And you are saying you can't. He had to come with humility. He knew this one is completely different from that one. Are you listening to me? That one, you can use brain. But this one, you need the spirit. Are you with me? You must come humbly. Don't brag yourself. You know, people pat themselves at the back and say it's because of their intelligence, their exposure, their background. They are doing stuff. Hallelujah. Some people, even in the church, you know, when they are given a certain position, they begin to think, is that what they can give me? Don't they know who I am? I went to First Baptist Church in Lagos to minister one time. And the man who was the usher, you know the Anglican church, how they close the door and open the door, at interval. The one who stood there was our minister of federal government, was the, what do you call them? Warden. Door warden. Hallelujah. Whereas some ministers of government, you know, it was minister of transport then, who filled. Imagine if Ameshi comes here today, I know you are going to give him a special seat. You won't ask him to be opening and closing the door. Hallelujah. He was doing it humbly. You won't even know he's the one. Glory to God. That's the way we should serve in the house of God. None of us, no matter your position, is qualified to even do the least in the house of God. It's by grace that you are called to be an usher. It's by grace that you are called to sweep the house of God. Don't you know the immense blessing that follow being an usher or a sweeper in the church, a cleaner of the seat? The angels could do it. But God not allowed them, called you. So you are told to follow up somebody and you are feeling, is that all they can give me? By now they should make me a pastor. Who told you? It's not of him who wills, not of him who runs. It's of God who shows mercy. Unless the mercy of God picks you, you don't qualify for anything in the house of God. Every opportunity you are given is a privilege that you must cherish and that you must acknowledge before God. The third thing we have said, to assess faith, you must come to the throne, come to God. You have said, you must come by faith. We have said you must come with humility because God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Then one thing that greatly attracts grace is obedience to the divine call or divine instruction. When God calls you to do something, or when God gives you a divine instruction. Please, my timekeeper, I know you are using the scripture from time to time. Flash the time also so I can keep to time. Thank you. So, obedience to divine instruction or divine call. In the book of Genesis chapter 26, we read the story of Isaac. There was a famine in that land. And then there was a second famine. May we never experience two consequent famines. Everything was gone. Everybody was running away from the land to find greener pasture. And Isaac also wanted to run away for greener pasture. And then God came to him. And God said to him, don't go down to Egypt. I pray over you, you will not go down. I say you will not go down. In the name of Jesus. God said, don't go down to Egypt. Stay in this land. How can God be asking him to stay in the land where everybody is running away from and there is famine? There are many people now who have packed their load from Nigeria and have run away overseas. Whereas their destiny is here. Prosperity is not from abroad. It's from above. Are you listening to me? There is nothing like being where God asks you to be. If you want to enjoy grace, hear God and obey him. Hear God and obey him. Whatever the call of God is over your life, go for it. If you don't know it, that's one thing you must begin to seek. You know, many of us have ambition. God did not create you for ambition. He created you for a vision. You must exchange your ambition for vision. You need to pray and seek the face of God and say, God, why am I here? There are two great days in your life. The day you were born and the day you learn why. The day you were born and the day you find out why you were born. Those are the two great days in your life. All of us have had the first great day, but many people don't have never attained the second great day. They are just living. They haven't found out why they were born. May God help you today to find out why you were born. In the name of Jesus. God said to Isaac, don't go. Stay in that land. And the Bible says, Isaac obeyed God. Hallelujah. In verse 12 of Genesis 26, the Bible says, then Isaac sowed in that land. Does that make sense to sow in the land of famine? Two subsequent famines? It doesn't make sense. Everybody was eating their seed and running away to another land. But Isaac sowed in that land. And what happened? He reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord, that shows you it's by grace. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Grace makes your life enviable. Grace makes you thrive where people cannot even survive. Are you listening to me? Grace turns your story around and makes people to seek to be like you. May that grace come upon your life mightily this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon was another man who enjoyed grace. David, his father, had wanted to build a temple for God. And God said, no, I didn't call you to do that. You have been a man of war. You have had to shed many blood. Your son will be the one to build the temple. And through the grace of God, Solomon built that temple. Look at what it says in 2 Chronicles 6, where the story is. 2 Chronicles 6, 7 to 9. The Bible says, now it was in the heart of my father David, that was Solomon speaking, to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, You did well in that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build me the temple, but your son who will come from your body, he shall build the temple for my name. So Solomon built that temple. And I remember when Solomon dedicated that temple, which he built for God. The Bible says the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. Why did the glorious presence of the Lord fill the temple? It was a commission by God. It was an instruction by God. Professor said, I didn't want to do this. But God impressed it upon him until he submitted. For many years, I ran away from God until I got to a point when I knew I couldn't beat God and I had to submit. Because in my day, all the prosperity you see among the preachers today was not there. Preachers were suffering, and I didn't want to be poor. So when God was calling me, I remember when I told my mom that God called me, it was like disaster befell the family. He said, ha! Is this the work you want to do? I said, yes. He said, I had thought when you graduate, you will go and find a good job and then and help us. I said, sorry, mom, you lost your son. He said, my son, please, why can't you find a good job? This one is not a good job. I'll be doing this thing by weekends. I'll be doing it by weekend. I said, I'm sorry, mom, that's not what God said. And today, I'm the one who took care of all of them and her children. Are you listening to me? Because after they separated, my mother married another and had six. My father had six. And all of them, I take care of them. Hallelujah. The person they said through the job they thought was going to be nothing. There is nothing like being who God called you to be. Are you listening to me? Because it is when you give yourself to God to obey God. Grace follows obedience to God's instruction. Grace follows obedience to God's call. There are many of you who are still striving with God. I did too. And I will have been nothing. Maybe I will have been dead even right now. But by the grace of God, he's taking me from grace to grace. And the same thing will happen for you in Jesus' name. The day he dedicated that temple, the presence of God came mightily into that temple. The priest could not even enter the temple because of that glorious presence that filled it. The presence of the Lord is the place of his grace. Wherever God is worshipped in spirit and in truth, like this place, God makes his presence known there. The presence of the Lord is the place where people enjoy his grace. This is the place where human needs are met and human problems are solved. No wonder the psalmist said, I love the sanctuary of God. God still honors his sanctuary, and I know God will continually honor this sanctuary of God. He honors his sanctuary where he is honored, where he is adored today with his presence, and his presence is here. The sanctuary is the place where his people assemble to worship him, to praise him, and to celebrate and enjoy the blessings of his grace. That's why God instructed us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some. Hallelujah. The sanctuary of God is the blessed place to go and settle the issues of your life. You don't need to wait for service. This place has been dedicated. I want some of you to come this week and prove whether it is true. Just come when there's nobody here. Even if the sanctuary is not open, just stay anywhere around this sanctuary and cry to the God of heaven. It will amaze you what will happen. His abiding presence is here. His glory has overshadowed this place. Are you listening to me? After we finish our first sanctuary, we are in a new one now. Every preacher who came, I don't know how, the first thing they said is, there is a presence here. As if they met each other. Can you imagine somebody who come from Kaduna, say the same thing. Somebody who come from Lagos, say the same thing. Somebody who come from East, say the same thing. The presence is here. Shaku Mahadia. The presence is here. And you can come here anytime to come and enjoy it. Don't wait for service. Of course, come for services. Because there is also mighty presence in services. He said, you must not forsake it. There is grace for every service. Every service you miss something. Except you are on another divine assignment. That you are sleeping in your house when God's people are meeting. That's why some people suffer some unnecessary things in life. Because there is grace for every service, and you don't know which one your life needs at a particular time. Do not forsake the assemblings of yourselves together, as some people have made it their manner. Glory to God. So God's presence is here. It is the best place to be. It is the best place to become. To belong. And it is the best place to become everything God has called you to be. God answers prayer. He performs miracles, signs, and wonders right in his sanctuary. He meets people in his sanctuary. In the sanctuary of God, the word of God is taught. And that word carries grace and transforms life. We meet God's wonderful people also when we come to the house of the Lord. And this is where love, genuine love, and kindness is shown and experienced through other people. So, again, the sanctuary of God is the place to be, to belong, and become through grace all you were created to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Finally, there is a grace that God has designed for the end of time. Let me read quickly Ephesians 2, 4 to 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He didn't leave us at that point. Then, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, the days we are living in, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus.